far, far away, with a Jedi and a Sith and a smuggler's plate. Me R2 and Yoda, 3PO and Leia, Luke Vader and later Calophe Poray. Don't tell me the odds when I place on my bed. Who got the Chewbacca, there's no need to fret. Thrusters are primed and the coordinates set, then it's off with the heads like the name Jango Fett. I've seen these movies like 500 times. Han Solo shot first, ain't no changing my mind. One with the Force and the Force is with me, so of course I'm gonna see even if I go blind. I'm on this journey of trials and lessons, get lost in this wonder in a matter of seconds. Let's jump to light speed and tear through the heavens. Enjoy every minute, cause they're only legends.
What is up, Star Wars fans? Welcome back to another episode of They're Only Legends, your go-to place for all things related to a galaxy far, far away. My name is Tyler, and with me as always is my brother in the Force, Spencer. How we doing this morning, Spence?
Man, I'm excited to get up and catch up and talk about this Star Wars son shit.
You know, but the first thing that popped in my head was, that is the first time I've gone actual radio voice for the intro.
Hey!
You, like, we do that sometimes as a joke, but I was like, wait a minute, that was like radio voice. I should be a radio host. Just kidding. So we have some Mandalorian to talk about. And
yes, sir.
And I just want to jump right into it.
Fucking
if
man.
You don't mind, my friend. So I cannot believe how fucking good this shit is.
Dude, it's stupid good. Stupid good. Like, we're gonna be talking about chapters 21 through 23, right?
Something like that.
The last one, yes. We talked about was chapter 20, so.
Yeah. So episodes, oh, yeah. Fucking what? Is that 5 through 7? Yeah, 5 through 7. We haven't talked about Mando since the middle part of the, wow, we're really good at this. Okay, so I just want to say that I have talked so much shit. No, I haven't. That's about Bad Batch. In Mando, I was saying that, like, when we were talking about the Pershing stuff from episode 4, right?
Mm-hmm.
Chapter 20. Like, you know, we were like, a lot of people, I wasn't super like pissed off about the fact that it was 30 minutes of Pershing stuff. But I was also like, that could have been 15 minutes and we would have been good.
Yeah.
And I loved how, wow, well, I was about to talk about the most recent episode. Anyway, we'll get to that part later. I just, because it's so fresh on my mind, man. But
sure. How about we can jump around, too. Everybody's around watched them.
Yeah, everyone's watched them. But, like, how they've tied in all the story beats, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, all that Pershing stuff,
mm-hmm.
It paid off.
Bro, because, like, we are going to be jumping around.
We're going to be
like,
jumping around.
We haven't talked about,
yeah, no, fuck structure,
Mando,
bro,
in a few weeks. Okay, so. Like, the fact that they're tying in that, like, Dr. Pershing specialized in taking the best strands of DNA from different things and putting them together. So that's when you start thinking, like, okay, that's why he wanted Grogu. And, like, that's, like, jump ahead to fucking Moff Gideon flies fucking hell. God damn, the most
this
recent episode was good.
Yes.
And legit being like, I'm taking, you know, basically the warrior mentality and the physical armor of the Mandalorians. I'm taking the I'm assume force sensibility from the Jedi, and you know, he's taking the best strands of all these things to create literally like these super soldiers, mm-hmm. Which I want to see who's under the armor. I don't think it's going to be anybody like specific. I don't mm-hmm. think that's where they're going with it, but like it's kind of fucking crazy. Like it's the best shit that could be possibly happening is finally fucking happening. Not to mention that we're straight up leading into Heir of the Empire. But
dude, oh yeah, we'll talk about that in our celebration discussion on Wednesday. Yeah. But like the fact that they're able to tie in, and this to me is the brilliance of the. This goes back to the Dave Filoni can't miss. Okay, I take that back. He can miss sometimes, but like
sure.
He more often than not doesn't miss. It was like John and Dave coming together, and this is mostly John who wrote this, so I'm just going to say John. Being able to tell a story and tie this story into the currently told story, right, about mm-hmm. trying to get Grogu, making these clones for the soldiers and shit, Pershing and all that stuff, tying that into Bad Batch with Mount Tantiss and the Kaminoans,
mm-hmm.
and their focus on trying to do this, you know, special science division or whatever it's called. Also tying it into it, whether people are like it or not, like, but the sequel shit with Palpatine mm-hmm. and all these things like being tied into like bringing all of the eras together. Essentially, we're talking basically prequels, OT, and sequels. Like that was some pretty good shit. Like I am not envious of the position that a lot of, like John and Dave are in when it comes to, you know, knowing about how people feel about the sequels and Disney Star Wars in general, and then having to do all, I'm assuming there's some sort of, like we joke about, Kathleen Kennedy is like, where's my Snokes, you know, or whatever. Mm-hmm. But like to be able to like do it and make it good. You know, it's funny though. Last night I was talking to Mike Kaminsky and he thinks the most recent episode was terrible.
What the fuck?
And I told him he's not invited. I've revoked his invite. No, we'll get him on for him to rave and rant about it after the season's over. But, like, golly, man. I was like...
Dude, okay. Here's the thing. Is like, I feel like this is the same thing I was talking about. I love Mike. Let me preface this going in. he is a OT head, right? Like, so that means the OG Legends were his expanded universe. He's a little bit older than us. He's got some more breadth of the world. This is straight up Legends shit. Like, this is straight up, like, Thrawn coming back and, like, cloning leading to, like, as much as people, like, I feel like people don't understand that the Palpatine cloning thing is not a new concept. No. Like, the somehow Palpatine return is a silly line. Secrets only the Sith knew. Like, that shit is funny. But, like, in reality, like, the Legends, the Expanded Universe kicked off with Timothy Zahn's... I mean, there was shit before that, but, like, that was the shit that people were like, oh, fuck, like, this is rad. And it was fucking Palpatine endlessly being cloned. And I think that was in Shadows of the Empire or Dark Empire, one of those two.
I think it was like Dark Empire.
I think Luke came back and was, like, trying to fake apprentice under Palpatine and all that shit.
He legit... turns to the dark side while still knowing he's light side, and
people love that shit. But like Luke being upset that he failed his nephew, not to get into a sequels talk, because we have so much other shit to talk about. But like that, and bless his heart, but like Mark Hamill being so pissed, Luke Skywalker would never do that. Meanwhile, your whole fam, like, have you read the shit? Because like, you fell to the dark side, dog. Like,
yeah,
like Palpatine's cloned himself many, many times on Mount Tantus. Like, we're leading right into, and they're plucking the best shit, and they're taking what was dealt to us as kind of a shitty hand, and they're pulling in the dope shit that everyone wished would have been the sequel trilogy, and trying to make it all a congruent story. They're trying to right their wrongs, and Filoni and Favreau specifically are trying to right the wrongs of Lucasfilm and how Disney Star Wars treatment has been handled, and like, fucking God bless them. I'm so, here for it, bro. I'm excited.
Me too. And so, you know, to harken back to when we talked about John talking about surprises, right, for Mando. Yeah. Now, we were very spoiled in the specifically the second season of Mando, when we had the cameos for Luke and Ahsoka and Boba. You know, it was like,
sure,
oh shit, you know. And with Grogu being a Jedi, or being Force sensitive anyway, and a former Jedi youngling, like, you know, it's easy to kind of look at Mando and be like, okay, this is, you know, a show where you get the best of everything, right? But at the end of the day, the show's called The Mandalorian, and I think I was at first going into this season like thinking, you know, we need to know more about Grogu's training with Luke and have Luke and like all these things, right? But it's like, no. The show's called The Mandalorian, and the fact that we are getting such, in my opinion, just such deep story knowledge on screen of the Mandalorians, I love it. Like, I don't want to know more about Grogu's past in this season. I want to see this Bo-Katan, this Kree's clan, this Children of the Watch, like the Mandalorian story. I want to see this pay off, you know.
It's good deep Star Wars, bro. Like, yeah. this is what the expanded universe and like what the continuation of the original stories are supposed to be.
Yeah.
And like this is literally playing to the vision of like George Lucas's, and I'm not saying like his original sequel trilogy script, but like the work that he was doing before leaving and are selling Lucasfilm,
mm-hmm,
was pretty Mandalorian focused, and the work that he was developing with Filoni, this is the rewards we are reaping from all of that foundation and that story that they laid out.
Absolutely. You know, and it's one of the things that like I'm thinking about is like with the you know, Bad Batch is supposed to be a spin-off but direct continuation of the Clone Wars, right?
Mm-hmm.
This Mandoverse is just like Mandalorian. So I'm gonna call it Filoniverse, because Mandoverse, whatever. You know, sure. And we'll talk about it more later in the celebration talk.
But, it's the New Republic era.
Yes, because they designated all their eras and stuff. Mm-hmm. But like, you know, Filoni and his new project that'll be coming down the pipeline. It's like the Ahsoka show, Mandalorian. These are direct continuations of the stories that he was telling, not only in Clone Wars but in Rebels.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I love that. You know, it's like, oh shit, wait a minute, because like, you know, having the little cameo of Ahsoka and the cameo of Bo, like, it was cool. And then we're like, oh, we're going to get an Ahsoka show. But, like, now we know we're getting an Ahsoka show. Like, we know when it's coming out and shit. And then, like, seeing Bo so much and, like, the Mandalorian story being focused, it's very clear that mm-hmm. this show is meant to be a continuation of the story that Dave began when he was talking about the Purge of Mandalore and, you know, the wars on Mandalore and, like, all those things. I'm like, man, I love this shit, dude. Like, it's good.
Good shit. I guess real quick, I guess we should hit on some of the specifics the last few episodes. I'm going to run real quick through chapter 21, The Pirate. I'm just going to hit some of the primary plot points, and I'll just hit them, and we'll come back and discuss whatever we want to talk about. So mm-hmm. with this episode, we saw the pirates coming to Nevarro, basically being like, fuck you, Karga, having a nice big face-off. Mm-hmm. We see him basically take, and the pirates take over Nevarro.
Yeah.
And then he takes his people to the outskirts of the land. He sends a distress signal to the New Republic. And which I'm surprised he didn't just reach out to Mando directly. It was kind of odd to me that he reached out to the New Republic, who then reached out to the Mandalorians. Like, well, you'd think he'd have Din on a line.
I think so too, but I think it's also one of those things, like, he realizes that if he calls, he probably remembers his, you know, issues with the Mandalorians on Nevarro, and sure, the problem at hand requires a stronger show of force, which the New Republic, if they're gonna help,
I guess so.
You know,
and I suppose that the reaching out to the New Republic would have been a better opportunity to get that show of force, but it wasn't until Carson Teva was basically denied by what's his name?
Oh, dude. Tim Meadows. Not Don Cheadle.
Bro, dude. I texted you as we were watching that episode. I was like, bro,
Don Cheadle? Which is a throwback if you guys haven't gone back to like literally our first or second episode where we very ignorantly thought it was Don Cheadle when it was Tim Meadows.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh,
good shit.
So funny. So wait, hold on real quick. What was it that Tim Meadows was in on our Star Wars in Star Wars that made us talk about him?
It's been a couple years,
dude.
Bro,
it's been a few years. Why the fuck were we even talking? Or are we just talking about The Office or some shit randomly?
That's really all I know him from, aside from like some of the other
But I saw him too. As soon as I saw him, I was like, oh shit.
He was also in the Adam Sandler Halloween, Hubie Halloween, which if you haven't watched, it's actually a sleeper, like good Sandler movie.
Oh, okay.
Like old school Sandler. But yeah, he was in there too, and he's funny as shit. But yeah, I don't remember what I was talking about, but that was so funny. I texted you. I was like, that's
I know, as soon as I saw it. I think that episode I watched on like at the release on midnight. So I had to wait for you to watch it the next night. But as soon as I saw him, I was like, oh shit. So when he goes, right, like you said, Carson Teva, he gets the notification, or the whatever, and then he goes to his superior, you know, Carson Teva, not Carson Teva, but Tim Meadows. And that's where we get to kind of see like how the New Republic is like not much different than the Empire. It's just like the Empire minus the racism. You know what I mean?
Corporate machine. Yeah.
It's all it is. Like, they don't want to help because
can't
Navarro
really do much.
Yeah. And Navarro hasn't signed, like, the treaty, you know, to become a part of the New Republic. And, of course, Gideon's little minion happens to be walking by and, like, overhears it and steps in and, like, drops that little info because she knows it's going to convince, you know, because, you know, she's just playing 3D chess right now, you know.
Yeah.
And, and yeah, that was pretty fucking interesting. Also, little Zeb Aurelius cameo in the right. Little, dude, that was so cool to see.
Yeah, right after he gets denied, he ends up in that bar, and then all of a sudden you see a fucking Lasat coming up. I'm like, no.
Yeah.
No. And then like even afterwards, I'm like, this is fucking Zeb, bro. Dude. But like I was just like, is it just the Lasat? And then no, it was confirmed like basically immediately. Because I think the Star Wars Instagram the next day posted a picture of him and was like, Zeb Aurelius, whatever. And I was like, this is fucking crazy.
So
like, this
good.
Is crazy.
So good. And he looked great.
He looked phenomenal. He looked great. And legit that day, I was talking with my buddy Ryan. We were talking about Ahsoka coming up, and he's like, so this is basically going to be live-action Rebels, right? I'm like, I'm pretty sure everyone has been confirmed other than Kanan for obvious reasons and Zeb. I haven't heard anything about Zeb. And literally that night, watched this episode, and fucking, there's Zeb. I'm like, dude, all we need is Freddie Prinze Jr. as a Force Ghost Kanan. And so, like, would be a perfect surprise to drop.
So I something I was just thinking of, right? So, you know, I had said, you know, Mercedes Varnado, Sasha Banks, for those who don't know her name, whatever. She plays Cosca Reeves. You know,
AKA
she,
that bitch. AKA.
Yeah. So she had said in an interview, unfortunately, I wasn't asked to come back for Mando Season 3, but I would love to work more in that universe in the future. And you're like, that don't mean shit, bro. And I was like, nah, dude, but like, whatever. And then we saw that. You said Jean Carlos was there at the premiere, and I was like, yeah, but so is Sasha Banks, and she's not in it. And you're like, that don't mean shit, bro. And then next thing you know, Cosca Reeves is fucking showing up in Mando, and I'm like, okay. So like, what I wouldn't be surprised is if Freddie Prinze isn't, you know, gonna be talked about, and like at the end of Ahsoka,
he'll be at the premiere of Ahsoka or some shit.
Because if Ezra is gonna be dark side, we'll talk about that more later. But I could see, like you said, a Force Ghost cameo of Freddie Prinze Jr. as Kanan, and I would probably shit my pants.
I'll cry, bro. I'll cry.
Oh, dude, 100%.
Yeah, 100%. But we'll touch on this when we talk about Celebration stuff. Yeah. We got a little bit more Mando to fly through. The armor, Taz Bo-Katan, basically. Hey, take off your fucking helmet. Let's go out here. Oh, the Mandalorians come. They help Navarro. It's a badass fucking takeover scene. So the Mando's just in there, two gunner in the middle, which fucking RIP, bro. But he's sitting there laying them out, fucking taking them out up top. The armor clanks her way into fucking
up into
the office.
Yeah. Wow.
Chief or Grand Magistrate Karga.
Yeah.
That's what I was looking for.
Yeah.
Grand Magistrate. And takes the fucking, like, I love that she uses her armor tools as her fucking weapons. Mm-hmm. Like, that's so sick. Takes them out, and then I think there's a turret up there, and they start helping with backup and shit.
Yeah.
And then great fucking finishing up. Greef Karga is like, the Mandalorians have a home on Navarro, and it's like my unintentional Tom Kane.
Yeah.
And it all's well that ends well. It's a beautiful little finish off to the episode. And then
but like you said, the armor told Bo, take your helmet off.
Take your helmet off.
And she understands, like, you know, you have the ability to walk both paths and unite, which is what the fuck we were talking about.
Yeah.
Weeks ago.
But I think Bo-Katan is kind of on this holy path now, and I think the armor has shit up her sleeve. I think she wants all the Mandalorians together to fucking punish them.
Which there is, you know, chapter 23 is called The Spies, you know? Yeah. And so, like, yeah, I wouldn't doubt it if she's got some shit up her sleeve. Or if, you know,
she she led them into Moff Gideon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That'd be interesting. But, okay. So anyway.
Which would be kind of interesting because the only person that really fucking died was one of her people. Yeah. But I guess so, whatever.
So at the end of chapter 21, Carson Teva is flying out to Navarro, I believe is where he's heading. And he comes across a destroyed Lambda class shuttle. Mm-hmm. And gets his little droid to go figure it out, and he calls it in, and they run the codes, and they find out that was Moff Gideon's transport when he was on his way to, you know, the war tribunal, and that's like our guaranteed.
So all of these rumors that have been going around, the New Republic doesn't, like, he went missing in transit, like, and they're like, he's fucking missing. He never made it to trial.
Well, but here's the thing, is because of the fact that, you know, we had the little glimpse into the public knowledge, right? When we were watching the Pershing episode, when the guys at the thing were like, I heard that he escaped, and the other guy's like, no, I heard he was attached to a mind flayer. That tells me that the New Republic didn't give any exact information. Like, they didn't even talk about it. They didn't say Gideon didn't make it. They didn't say these things. It's just like the rumor's been going around. And right. So, but this is our first confirmation that Gideon is in fact alive, like a confirmation that Gideon is alive. He did not make it to trial. He's out there somewhere. And somehow in that entire wreckage, they were able to notice, Tave was able to notice one piece of metal that stuck out differently, and it turned out to be Beskar.
Yeah.
So
he had a little scanning thing in there, and I guess that was able to pick that up. But right. Which, as far as cliffhangers go, it's like,
that was a pretty solid red herring.
Mandalorians
too.
Broke him out.
Yeah, that's where you end with for a week, and it's like, okay, that's pretty good, pretty good.
I'm kind of curious to get your thoughts on this next episode. So the next episode was Guns for Hire. Obviously, Bo-Katan and Din Djarin head to was it like Phaser 15? What was the name of that planet?
I don't know the name. Yeah, Plazier.
Plazier 15.
Plazier,
mm-hmm. And because they know of basically Bo-Katan's former fleet, fucking fleet, is there, with a Imperial light cruiser and everything, with a huge fucking mythosaur on the bottom, which is so sick.
So we see
in the next episode, but they go there and they get in the shuttle and they're like, wow, this is kind of cool, and they're like, have you ever been here? No, I haven't been here. And the fucking shuttle's like, nope, we're taking you to our leaders. And like, dips out. And it's Lizzo and Jack Black. And now we've had talks in the past about, like, Forrest Whitaker potentially pulling us out of the immersive experience. And, like, here's the thing. Is, like, this was the Bryce Dallas Howard episode of the season. Okay? Obviously, like, they all did their job perfect, as expected. They did their job wonderful. This is not any, like, I love Lizzo, I love Jack Black, fucking I love Jack Black, Dewey Cox, love Jack Black, and obviously Christopher Lloyd. Holy fuck, if they, like, they did a great job and they were wonderful. If they had casted anyone else, I think that would have been a perfect episode. I personally could not vibe. The story was awesome. We have a fucking beautiful society that's ran by reprogrammed battle droids, and come to find out that the person and they're going haywire, and like, this was a fucking Rebels episode, and then you know, all of a sudden you find out that the person that is in charge of their programming is a former separatist who's, like, it's dope as shit. But, like, then they had the Scooby-Doo moment. I would have gotten away with it too. Well, for, you know, like, I don't know, man. What are your thoughts on that, though? Did it pull you out?
So I had the Jack Black thing spoiled for me, because
that's what you said.
Yeah, I was on Instagram. I didn't get around to watching the episode till, like, later, probably not even until Thursday. And so I saw, you know, the Jack Black thing, and I was like, okay, cool. I don't know in what capacity, but...
Oh, yeah, by that time, Star Wars had posted it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so it was like, it was such a quick scroll, but Jack Black is so recognizable that I knew, you know, whatever. I didn't know about Lizzo, and I actually couldn't place who she was at first.
Oh, okay.
And then, obviously, Christopher Lloyd. I love Lizzo. Me Lizzo's too. Dope. So in a vacuum, right, taking this episode out of the entire Mandalorian arc, I thought, like, to everything you just said, I agree with. Great episode, lovely world building, you know, is a lot of, you know, fleshed out, like, well thought out awesomeness, right? Perfect comic book, you know, issue, perfect Rebels episode. Jack Black and Lizzo honestly did not pull me out of the immersion the way that Forrest Whitaker did when I first saw Rogue One.
Really?
Like, yeah, because I think I was just happy for Jack Black, and knowing going, like, here's the thing though, if I hadn't had it spoiled for me, I don't know if I'd feel the same way. Because I went into the episode knowing Jack Black was going to be a part of it. And if I didn't know that, I probably wouldn't have been as okay with it. If I would have turned it on and Jack Black was on my screen, I probably would have been a little more, because here's why I think that, because Christopher Lloyd actually pulled me more out of the immersion than Jack Black did. And I've seen less movies with Christopher Lloyd than I have with Jack Black.
I don't know which one of you fucking people did it or if you're listening, but somebody on the Instagram posted, like, that day a screenshot of Christopher Lloyd on Instagram. And, like, I was just scrolling through Instagram, like, while at work or whatever, and I briefly saw Christopher Lloyd at a fucking blue-lit room and a desk and shit, and I kept fucking I think I closed out the app immediately, and I'm like, I don't want to know, but, like, immediately recognized it as Christopher Lloyd. And I'm like, I'm approaching dangerous territory, but I was still kind of, like, I was still kind of surprised to see him, actually, but, like, I didn't read, oh, explicitly, Christopher Lloyd's in the new episode, but, like, but I kind of suspect.
So,
that being said, I love the characters of Captain Bombardier and the Duchess. Like, they played the fuck out. And I feel like those parts were almost written for them. Like, charismatic, like, I used to be a bad guy, but now I'm a good guy, and I care about my people, and this is my beautiful wife, and, you know. They played that fucking part well. Let's drink wine. We live in a constant party. We're out here playing fucking croquet while we got Mandalorians on a mission for us, taking out killer robots. Like,
on top of that, like, though, as cool as that is, right? In Star Wars, right? Droids are sentient beings for the most part. They're programmed, but as we know, they're sentient. The society's kind of fucked up, bro, because they just got a bunch of slaves doing everything for them, so they ain't got to do it themselves.
That is true.
So if you want to peel apart the layers and look at it, it's like, are they really that good? You know? But anyway. Yeah. I feel like, though,
it's almost like these droids were programmed for something evil.
That's true. Yeah, yeah.
They're and all now they're serving a purpose by providing us a utopia.
Yeah.
They're fucking battle droids.
That might have been your best rebuttal yet. One of my takes, yeah, because I didn't think of it that way. That was a good one, bro. That was solid.
If they weren't doing this, they would be scrapped. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, they would have 100% just been tossed into a smelter, you know? But so back to my thoughts on it is, like, I think I've gotten used to the fact that celebrities who are fans of Star Wars that are well-known are going to be in Star Wars, and that's fine. That's okay with me.
Star Wars is such a machine that, like, I expect it, but still, like, back-to-back-to-back, I'm sitting there, they're walking in the room, and immediately I'm like, Jack Black? Is that fucking Lizzo? Like,
yeah, and then Christopher Lloyd?
Yeah, and then I was like, oh, shit.
You know, Doc Brown over there.
But it was phenomenal, so, man. Bryce Dallas Howard did awesome.
I had a feeling, because when I told you this, I was watching it, and I was like, this feels like a Bryce Dallas Howard episode, and it turned out it was. But so with the episode, though, I said that in a vacuum, I'm actually, as cool as it was, I don't like that it was in Mando, because we only get 8 episodes, and I think I told you is you could literally cut that entire interaction out on that planet. You can mm-hmm. have, like, I don't even really think you need the opening scene of the Mandalorians, you know, breaking up that, you know, whatever love story that they broke up between the Mon Calamari
which they were Rebels characters. I don't know if you knew that.
Or I did not know that.
Clone Wars or Rebels. One of those, the Prince, mm-hmm. which I'm not versed. I read this, which is why I know this. Otherwise, I wouldn't have known. But the Prince was, I vaguely remembered, there was an episode of him, like, running off with the, you know, the Mon Calamari, whatever, and the Aqua.
Okay. Whatever their fucking species are. So it was just a callback. That's fine.
Yeah, it was a callback. Those were voiced by the same people that did them in animation. So.
Gotcha.
Well, that was just a Dave Filoni, here's a cute little thing for the hardcore fans.
Yeah, but so yeah. Other than a little bit of world building, Plazier 15 or 17 or whatever it's called, mm-hmm. none of that mattered to the story that they're telling. You can literally cut from them. If you cut right before the autopilot engages on whatever, on Bo's ship, on the gauntlet, and just immediately jump to them walking up to the camp,
mm-hmm.
you have a 20-minute, 15-minute episode that tells the exact same amount of important story as leaving in all the Jack Black Lizzo stuff. Mm-hmm. And that was the only thing that bothered me, was like, we're this is the third to last episode of this season, and you're giving us a bunch of unnecessary story building. Like, I'm not pissed about it. I'm not, like, throwing my arms in the air saying I'm fucking done watching Mando, but, like, just thinking about it, I was like, this is an odd call. Granted, sure. Everybody involved did phenomenal with the task that they were given.
Yeah.
But to continue on with the story, like, once Mando and Bo figure out that there's some sort of Tony Stark-esque nanobots that are inside the fluids of these droids,
which is cool,
and they're basically sleeper agents to kind of, like, overthrow the city. We end up learning that it's what'd you say Christopher Lloyd's character's name was?
Oh, I don't even know. I don't remember. Okay.
But anyway, his character, you know, is sabotaging because he's loyal to the Separatists because of what mm-hmm. He doesn't care about the New Republic. He didn't care about the Empire, you know, because he's back. You know, we got a little Count Dooku call mm-hmm. in right there, mm-hmm. which was awesome to hear. And, you know, they bring him to justice, and they're told that they're always welcome there. You know, Grogu with Lizzo was awesome.
Yeah.
He,
like, front flipped into her arms.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it was cute.
And it's cool to see. It is cool to see Grogu, like, becoming more trusting after having clones try to slaughter him and every Jedi around him, you know, in his past. Right. He's got a dark past. Right. So, then it cuts back out to Bo and Mando walking up on the Mandalorians. The and that shit. Was a cool scene, you know. And then you get, them, Axe is trying to tell Bo, hey, you failed us during the purge. You failed us when you didn't return with the Darksaber. He has the Darksaber now, referring to Din. Like, why should we listen to you? And Din's just like, so she beat Gideon, right? Or no, Gideon beat her, and then Gideon beat me, but then she saved me because then I was bested by this creature.
Mm-hmm.
And then she bested the creature, so would that not make her the Darksaber owner?
What are your thoughts on this, like, technicality thing?
I actually like it. I like it. Okay, so if we back up to how important they made the Darksaber feel with Gideon wielding it at the end of season one, and then him, you know, it just being, and then Din taking it at the end of season two, it was setting up something what felt like bigger. So I feel like when they were sat down in the writer's room for season three, they're like, but we can do a mythosaur. Well, doesn't that necessarily trump a Darksaber? It does, but we'll figure it out. That's kind of what it felt like.
You think we're going to see a mythosaur?
Yeah, we already saw a mythosaur.
This episode?
No.
we had one episode no, left,
we,
right?
We talked, didn't we talk about it the last time? Was like the we're gonna get like a post credit scene of Bo walking into the living waters and just the mythosaur rising in the background
Yes.
Yeah,
we
so
did
like,
talk about this.
We did.
Yeah.
So like I don't think we're gonna see the mythosaur. She's not gonna like just show up riding it, but you know, Boba Fett Rancor style. But like I think we'll get to see it again, or at least in some capacity. You know, maybe the mythosaur doesn't rise out of the water, but she walks up to the edges of the water and the water starts to like move and swell and then it cuts, you know. but I am like thinking about it. It's like it does feel kind of like they thought of something better and tried to write themselves out of the corner that they wrote sure. themselves into. But I'm not mad at it. Like it, if you go by literally what the creed states and you want to find an easier way where you don't have either one of your protagonists losing to the other protagonist, it's a pretty clever way of wait a minute. I got beat by this guy and she beat that guy. So technically it's hers, right? And they're like, yeah, you're right.
I just had a live kind of retcon for my own dislike of the situation. So I don't even dislike it. I just think it's kind of like earlier, a couple people have asked me about that where they're like, well, technically like Din was captured, right? And then like she picked up the saber and like killed the dude with it. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no, I don't think that's it because like, yeah, he was captured, but like motherfucker, like people who are in combat get captured and shit. Like that doesn't mean like you lost in a fucking, that doesn't mean they're ruler of Mandalore now. You know what I mean? Like, so the dude was captured and his fucking saber fell out. But like, I almost feel like if we're going to give the dark saber this air of respect, this thing that it's supposed to unite the people and there's a creed behind it. I feel like it should be an intentional, like, I'm fucking dueling you for this thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm challenging you for the title of, you know, the person who's rightful ruler of Mandalore.
Yeah.
But the live retcon of this, what I'm talking about, is in the next episode, we hear the story when Bo-Katan's talking to the surface people
mm-hmm.
of, I didn't want to abandon you. I actually negotiated with Moff Gideon for a ceasefire, and he said if we laid down arms that the people would be left, you know.
Yeah. They wouldn't continue the bombings. Yeah.
Right. And so she harnessed her inner sister, her Duchess Satine,
mm-hmm.
and was like, fine, and handed that shit over.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Handed the Darksaber over. So by those... By y'all's creed, he didn't fucking technically best her in combat.
Mm-hmm.
She gave that shit to him.
Yeah.
So
technically, she...
ultimately, that's where the rightful owner should have. That's where that line should have stopped.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't matter that Din Djarin came in with the dope fucking Beskar staff and kicked Moff Gideon's ass and got the Darksaber and then like. All of and the fucking little creature captured Din Djarin of like, I don't even think any of that needed to happen. I think it's this needs to be won in combat, and mm-hmm. Moff Gideon never beat me in combat.
Mm-hmm.
This shit's mine.
So
she should have had that shit from the end of season two.
Yeah,
I'm taking this back because you didn't earn it.
Yeah, and so I think so. If we're doing live retcons, right? Thinking back to the season two finale when Bo refuses to take it. Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're sitting here thinking that Bo is not taking it because she's not facing Din in combat to earn it. Right. And you get Gideon's little backstory monologue about how, you know, it's the story that matters. It's not the whatever. And knowing what we know now, you can look back on that and go, oh, she didn't want to take it because she knows that her people think Gideon beat her for it. So if she shows up without being able to honestly tell the, you know, story of me beating Gideon, they're not going to believe that I want it back. When in reality, she gave it away. She's been the rightful owner, but that's not what the Mandalorians think. So she can't just walk in with it because they're going to be like, well, how'd you get it back? You know? And so, like, she doesn't take it from Din because she knows that she doesn't matter if she has it or not. She didn't win it back to you know... to right the wrong she made when she told the story of the initial lie about losing it. And so fast forward to this point where Din is explaining how it all worked, and then Axe and everybody else agreeing that, yes, this technically would make her the rightful owner. I think what it did, its greater purpose of that story is, yeah, it's kind of silly, but that's the point. You've got these new Mandos who walk around without their helmets on, who think the Children of the Watch are ridiculous cultists that follow an old creed that doesn't matter anymore. And yet, something as silly as winning a sword in combat, they will live and die by that creed, even if it means, well, yeah, technically she did beat the guy that jumped you, and even though it wasn't a direct challenge, we still honor that. What that does is it shows you that just because they're walking different paths doesn't mean that they're not both as ridiculous with their ways, you know, pardon the pun. And so I think that's ultimately what I took from it was, oh, this bullshit that they're talking about is just as silly as the other stuff that they laugh at the Children of the Watch for, the helmets and the Darksaber. And so it was Din being like, this is how it happened. These guys are kind of ridiculous too. Wouldn't this technically be a way that she could have it? And they're like, yeah. And even if it was like in the moment, Axe is doing that because he wants to, he knows he's going to challenge, which he does, immediately challenges. And we get a dope fight scene between the two of them. And of course, Bo gets the best of them.
I loved their correspondence. I'm here to take back my fleet.
Oh, like, yeah.
I love when, yeah, it's kind of sick, and you can tell all the people are stepping back, and they're not, you know, just like we see later on the ship, they're not going to come to his aid. Like,
no, this is what they do. You're being
challenged, and we're going to respect this, and if she wins, we're going with her. And it was badass to see her, and like, get that, like, they got fucking jetpacks and whips, and she busts out the shield, and they got like dope shit that, like, it was a fun fight. And I really love that the cock match, I guess. Like,
yeah.
No, I'm bigger than you.
Yeah, like, the pissing match is what I think you meant to say. But
sure, that is. I loved it, man. It was cool. It was good Mando shit. And then, anyways, yeah. So she bests him in combat. He succeeds. That's her fleet now. That's her fucking fleet now. So, we got to run through the most recent episode, not super quick, but we just got to get through it. The next episode, we're greeted with, what's her name?
I don't know, dude.
The spy.
Yeah.
Aliyah Kane.
Aliyah, yeah.
In a fucking like Blade Runner-esque, bro. Like walked up,
bro.
And.
Bro.
Huh?
Aliyah is Aliyah, bro. She's a straight up liar. Aliyah.
She is Aliyah.
Should have known. Should have known from the beginning. Anyway, as we were.
She's a liar, dang.
Yeah. Okay, well, thanks for just running that one into the ground.
She gets scanned, which the fucking probe droid was so sick. But yeah, she's like walking through the fucking seedy little alleys and shit. What I assume is Coruscant. And
yeah, that's what they are, yeah.
The fucking probe droid descends and scans her. And she gives I think it was a TK number that she gave. But she gives her Imperial identification and has correspondence with Moff Gideon. She's like, the Mandalorians are all coming together. They came to aid Navarro and fought off some pirates. I think they're plotting some shit. And Gideon's like, nah, that can't be true. They all fucking hate each other. And she's like, no, dude, like, this is fucking happening. And
which, to your point earlier about the armorer, how does Aliyah know about that if she's been working on Coruscant?
Someone's
snitching inside the ranks of the Mando ranks. Anyway,
but ultimately, then with that information, Moff Gideon turns off, and he's in this fucking dope ass cruiser, bro. And they got Snoke tanks. They're not Snoke, but no. Clone tanks. And the fucking the Phantom Menace scene of him walking down and all the red laser doors dropping. Such cool shots. I fucking loved this scene. And then you had just the coldest fuck troopers standing there, which I'm like, are they robots? Come to find out, they're people just standing in the hallway.
I think they're clones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, clones are people, Tyler.
No, no. I just mean like specific. Oh, you fucking asshole. Specifically clones. I mean, not just random. They have rights. I okay. understand that.
But their armor's so fucking sick. Dude. I love the clean. Blend of like they almost had this First Order meets Mandalorian kind of mm-hmm. vibe to it. But it was just super sick, bro. I love that armor. Mm-hmm. He walks into a Shadow Council meeting, which I love that they have a room designated on the ship to where full-size holograms mm-hmm. can just go around in a circle. And he walks up to his spot, and we got fucking Hux's dad is
there.
Brendel
Hux is in there.
We got what's his name? Paleon from mm-hmm. the original fucking Thrawn trilogy, which they did technically bring him in. I think it was Rebels.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was super sick. Like it just feels very Imperial underworld, which we kind of got a tone with in the Aftermath trilogy, mm-hmm. which this scene particularly made me want to revisit, just because that's what it reminded me of so much of. These high up Imperial people, and they're discussing like, you know, hey, you're out here being loud as fuck. If we start making big ass moves like this, the New Republic, we're gonna be on the radar again. And rather than like they know what they are perceived as, they're like, rather than these tiny little militant former Imperial warlord groups, they're going to start to see us as an organized unit. We can't have that.
Mm-hmm.
So they're having those kind of discussions and stuff. And when Gideon's in there, I forgot who it was, but someone made a comment to him like, you know, you've requested more than like any of us. You want 3 Praetorian guards and a squad of bombers and like, which we saw the bombers already. They took out Bo-Katan's castle, but we hadn't seen the guards, which were straight up fucking sequel trilogy Praetorian guards. Those weren't Imperial guards. Those were fucking, like,
yeah,
those were the guards from
Snoke's office,
Snoke's throne room. Yeah, yeah.
Dude, when they walked in though,
bro,
when they walked in, that yeah. was like, because you know we're jumping ahead to the end when Paz like tells the Mandos, hey, you get out of here, I'll hold them yeah. off, we can't all survive, yeah. you know, like, and they and then just that when those motherfuckers, there ain't nobody doing no 360s, not hitting anybody in that group of 3 people. Like, mm-hmm. you know, those were some badass guards, and they handled Paz Vizsla with
handled ease, him, bro. Dude. Putting holes in him. Just like, yeah.
And that's what they should
they
be.
They were taking shots and shit too.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved it. Like talking about that scene real quick of when he is shooting down, he takes down every one of those fucking
mm-hmm.
dark clone troopers and just fucking handles them. And like watching his gun overheat mm-hmm. and then it's not a gun and he's straight up using it as a blunt weapon and mm-hmm. like, what a fucking scene, dude.
So I thought for sure when it started to overheat, I thought for sure he was going to throw it and it was going to explode, and then it didn't. Yeah. I was like, damn. But, that was like a really cool, it just not letting off the trigger, and just he's like, I'm mm-hmm. taking out every single one of you. Mm-hmm. Beskar be damned.
Fucking A.
And it he did, and it came down to 3 Praetorian guards that are just like,
took his ass out.
We're handling this.
To not fly through, because I don't want to fly through, but let's hit some of these bigger plot points real quick. IG-11 is now IG-12, the mm-hmm. Anzellians
mm-hmm.
programmed him. And he walks up into Karga's office, which Din Djarin and Grogu in there, and we see a fucking IG unit walking in and shit. And I thought for sure, bro, I thought for sure they're gonna be like, this is the, you know, this is an Anzellian who's gonna be joining you from now on. His name's fucking
Babu Freak.
What's his name? Yeah, Babu I thought Frick. For sure. Yeah. I don't know why, but like instantly, I'm like, is that Babu Freak?
Mm-hmm.
Baba Freak, I know is yeah. his name, but No, he hops out, and then Grogu hops in there, and that's when we get the funniest fucking...
Dude, yes, I actually yes, loved
yes,
it.
Yes, yes,
I loved it.
I loved that
I
shit.
Instantly was like... So I was never really anti, like, the whole, like, why does he need to get IG-11, and he needs to... He's going to Bo because he's looking for a fucking, you know, memory unit. Like,
mm-hmm.
that little bit of storytelling that people were complaining about, I loved the fact that it tied into the fact that they're like, we're using this as a device for Grogu to be able to communicate, showing us that he's cognitively further along than physically.
Mm-hmm.
And like him just saying no, yes, 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 and then but still being a kid, but at the same time, because he's walking through and grabbing stuff,
bro, the walking and just the yes, 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 yes,
yeah,
yes.
I loved it. He just wants everything, yes, yes, yeah. And then yeah,
he grabs the Meluron fruit, mm-hmm. and squeezes it and squirts all over the dude.
He has to like, pay just, for it. He's trying to eat all the things. Like,
uh-huh.
It was.
He can finally reach and grab this shit, you mm-hmm. know, like without using the force. And he just
he just gets in that thing and knows how to operate it. You know, like it shows how advanced mentally he is. Like he's 50 years old or 52 at this point.
Yeah.
And it was I thought it was good. Like I have zero complaints about it. I'm sure there's plenty of people complaining. But
he also has experience, though, piloting his little egg. Like, that thing doesn't move by itself.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
He's in there. He closes the thing. He moves it around. He knows how to make it go fast. Like,
yeah, because, like,
he knows how to
Din has it programmed. But, like, when Din gets caught up on Mandalore, fucking Grogu's whipping that thing all the way back to the ship, you know?
Yeah, and, like, front flips out of it into the fighter and shit. Yeah, yeah. But anyways, so we cut to Bo-Katan showing up on Nevarro, because we see that's when we get that dope shot of the light cruiser overhead of Nevarro, and
mm-hmm.
Which, like, in Atmos, that thing is such a menacing ship.
Dude.
So sick.
And what I was thinking when we see the Mythosaur painted on the bottom, I was like, mm-hmm. I know Mandos are good at what they do, but how the fuck are they so accurate with painting this massive city-sized portrait of a...
They hired Sabine, bro.
Oh, shit. That's a big project for Sabine.
Yeah, it's whatever. It's her masterpiece.
Mm-hmm.
I did a chef's kiss. This is an audio platform. But they show up there, and Bo-Katan, she's kind of nervous. She's, like, swarming in her seat a bit, walks up, and she's like... Basically, everyone, you know, Axe was sitting there kind of looking down Paz Vizsla, and they were kind of not button heads, but you can tell there was a little bit of tension there.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, Bo-Katan announces, we got to take this scouting party to the surface of Mandalore to go in, confirm that, yes, this is indeed habitable, and, you know, we just need to scout it out, see what creatures are on the surface. It brought out a lot of dormant creatures. And so at first it's kind of quiet, and then Sasha Banks' character steps up, is like, I'm in.
Costco Reeves.
Yeah, people from both sides start climbing, I'm in. And it looked like a pretty even amount of, mm-hmm. of each side, which was cool. And they're kind of having their four Mandalore moment. And so they go down to the surface, and they land, and they kind of have this cool shot of, you know, them flying over, and the floors drop out, and all of a sudden they're looking down, and they're like, fuck, it's worse than I thought. But then they have the moment where they immediately all drop out at the same time, and jetpacks mm-hmm. Like, it was just sick. It was a cool shot.
Like, all of the night owls, basically, are mm-hmm. the ones who are looking down and just shaking their head no, because that was legit their home. A lot of the Mandalorians that walk the path of the way, like the Children of the Watch, they're foundlings.
Yeah.
And a lot, like all of the night owls, majority of them, I'm sure, if not all of them, lived there. And for them to see what it looks like now, it was like one by one, they're all like looking down and shaking their heads, like, man, you know, it's like, fuck, dude, that's got to be tough, you know?
For sure. They all drop down, they scout it out while they're on the surface. So they get there, determine it's cool. They land the ship. Also, Bo-Katan's ship, there's a bunch of them in that fleet. I don't know what the ship's called. But.
So, I thought those were called Fang Fighters, but I could be wrong. I'm going to look it up real quick. But
I think she has a name for hers.
Hers is the Gauntlet. But,
yeah. But they get to the surface. They find out that they're on the surface, and all of a sudden, this pirate skiff-looking thing flies up.
I immediately thought of Jack Sparrow and Davy Jones's Locker.
Yeah, sure. Little pirate skiff thing, and they're like, we're loyal to you, Bo-Katan. Like, first thing they said, do you guys got food?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. So they're cool. They fed the people. They're like, oh, okay. Was it, did they get ambushed?
Yeah, they get ambushed after she's telling the story, and they have their fight. on
the Godzilla creature.
The Godzilla creature. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a. It was a giant stegosaur, I think, or yeah. Not a stegosaur, the one that has the armor plated back, Ankylosaurus.
Yeah.
It's basically a giant Ankylosaurus. So you have like Pirates of the Caribbean meets Godzilla meets Jurassic Park again. You know.
Yeah. 100%. And then, so they beat the thing. The armor then gets herself off world by taking a group of these people
mm-hmm.
up.
Dude, did that ship get destroyed up in orbit? So when they were trying to come back, because comms were, you know, interfered mm-hmm. with, I can't remember if I made it up in my head, because I know that when she was flying towards the ship, I was waiting for any moment now, you know, more Imperials are going to pop up, yeah. You know, and it was just going to destroy.
Death Star rises up.
I was just thinking that too. Like, just come from the other side of the planet. Death yeah. Star 3. But yeah, no, I don't think that happened.
You right? want to piss off some Star Wars fans.
Oh, yeah. It turns out Moff Gideon's been building another Death Star, but bigger.
Yeah. And it's plated with Beskar. But yeah, so
just make they leave the fucking, you know,
the new Death Star.
The
yeah,
new Death Star.
So the armorer gets her ass off the planet to ensure her own safety. Which, this is what I'm going to be leading
yeah,
into.
Yeah.
Goes up, and also the fact that her helmet is horned, and also Gideon's helmet is horned.
Very Mandalorian.
Oof. I don't think, because we don't see horns on anybody else's helmets than the people that followed that
I
him.
I did not pick up on. I did not pick up on that. Like, I saw that he had horns, and I thought,
I always thought that her horns were just like decorative. But like, I don't know, man. Like, you don't see horns on anybody else's shit.
Mm-hmm.
So,
talk about know. Playing the long game.
I don't know, and fucking Maul led. Fucking Death Watch for a second, so mm-hmm. they're mm-hmm. the Children of the Watch. She could be that.
She could be the one who started the Children of the Watch, which is why everyone respects her, and she's one of the few that survived from the Mandalorians, or I don't know how many survived. Yeah. I don't remember that arc very well, but
she takes the fucking the injured people off world. That's when the rest of the party goes down into the caves. They're traveling through, and all of a sudden, I forgot what pushed them through, but like they ended up through some fucking doors, and all of a sudden they're like in an Imperial bunker.
Like, it was the monster, right? That forces them into the caves after the ship crashes. And they're like, okay, yeah. Well, down here is where the Great Forge used to be, so we're gonna go this way. And as they're walking down, they go through some of the buildings, like it's slowly changing into like Imperial-esque background. And then they fully realize, wait a minute. Well, because they look at the Great Forge, right? And then when they're at the Great Forge, don't the Mandalorians come flying in? The Mandalorians, Gideon's Mandalorians, come flying in.
Yeah.
And that kind of pushes them in. And they're like, wait a minute, we're an Imperial.
You don't see them at first. Like, you see the jetpacks. I'm like, they hear them like,
coming.
Mm-hmm. And I'm like, damn, like, those are some clean-looking Mandalorians. What the fuck? Mm-hmm. But I didn't even think about the troopers that we saw at the beginning of the episode.
Me neither. It wasn't until that moment. I was like, oh, wait a minute.
I can't say enough again. Like, I love that fucking design. I think they're so fucking cool. I need to figure out when they're dropping figures of these things. I'm going to buy a couple of them.
Before we continue, I just wanted to say, remember I was telling you about my coworker and his R2-D2 thing? And you're like, yeah, I have one of those.
Mm-hmm.
No, you don't have one of those. It's the life-size R2-D2.
Oh.
That follows you around.
What?
Yeah. It's the life-size R2-D2. That's why people are like, I'll give you $3,000 for this thing. Like, he's going to show me at some point, but like...
No shit.
I just assumed it was a remote control small one. No, it's the life... And he showed me the picture of the box. That shit is a life-size R2-D2 from like the 80s or 90s or whatever.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Anyway, but those troopers look cool.
What the fuck is that thing worth?
I don't know. Apparently, he said people that have found out about it have offered, because his grandma had it in the attic or whatever, in the box. Mm-hmm. He said he remembered his uncle playing with it when he was a kid.
Grandma just had a full-size R2-D2 in the attic?
Yeah, and people have offered like $3,000, and she's like, nope, not selling it.
Nah, I mean, why would you?
I know, because I think you can find it online, and it's like $3,000 or $4,000. But yeah,
I wonder how much it cost back in the day.
Oh, I don't know. A few hundred bucks.
But yeah. Anyway, so fucking, they get ambushed by these fucking people, and then the door closes, and Moff Gideon has his fucking moment, and as the door is closing, Paz Vizsla basically stays out there, and is that what happens?
Doesn't Din get, well, Din gets captured, but I don't know when. Oh, yeah, so Paz fights off all the things and then gets killed. And then as they're trying to get away from the other side, Din gets captured because the door closes and he's still out there.
Yeah, and Bo-Katan uses her fucking...
Well, she used that to get out the other side initially. The other side,
yeah.
And then when they're running away, that's when more of the guard, the cool Mandos, right? The Gideon Mandos show up, and Gideon comes down, right? And he's wearing the all black. It's the Dark Trooper armor. But like he said in his words, the only, you know, it's Beskar plated armor, and now the best part about it is that it's, you know, powered by me. It's controlled by me. I'm in. Yeah. What did he say? He said it has me in it. You know.
Yeah.
And
its best feature is I'm inside of it.
Yeah. And it looks like, yeah, you know, a Mandalorian or Batman, you know, with the horns. Sure. So but yeah, and so Din gets captured, and I was fully expecting those doors just to blast open with force energy from Grogu. But did Grogu go back with the... Well, Grogu was in there, right?
Grogu left with the mass majority of the people escaping through.
Oh, that's what happened. Yeah, because I couldn't remember at that point if Grogu was still with them.
And I don't remember if then, like, because I remember Din going through the door, but then did he come back? People are screaming.
I know. People are like, you guys are talking about it and you don't even remember? I was like, I watched this one time. I didn't have time. I got a promotion at work and it's really stressful, so I haven't had time.
We've been busy, people. If you know, yeah, you know. We've been fucking... Life's been happening.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, so... but, yeah, Din gets captured. And I think that's where it leaves off.
Paz dies, Din gets captured. I think that is where it leaves off.
Yeah, they mentioned Project Necromancer in there.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know... I don't know. Like, they're going to tie it into fucking sequel shit. Which, like I said, like, John's doing a good job. Don and Jave are doing a good job.
Isn't Project Necromancer the whole operation to bring Palpatine back from the dead?
I think so.
Yeah.
Hence, like, in Bad Batch, why they're doing all that stuff. But,
yeah.
All in all, I am super stoked for this finale. And, like, I know people... like good friend of the pod Mike have very strong opinions in the other direction. I don't understand it.
Honestly, the only negative opinion I've heard, which I don't even know what his opinion is, but everyone I talk to is fucking loving it. And like, I am too. And like, I don't love everything. Like, you and I are pretty critical, as the people will hear when we get to Bad Batch, which I love Bad Batch, but fuck. But Mando, it's fine, dude. I'm having a great time.
Yeah.
And I hope you are too, people.
Yeah. I feel like most people are. And I don't know. We'll see how this turns out, if they're going to go the route of a fourth season or if they're going to wait on that movie that's coming.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll talk more about that on Wednesday in our celebration rundown with our possibly Bad Batch included, or maybe Bad Batch will come later. But yeah, keep your ears and eyes open for that coming soon, next couple of days. And man, yeah. I cannot wait for this finale of Mando.
Me either. Oh man. Yeah, just a couple of days. Shit, it's crazy that it's already going to be over. Mm-hmm. And as we'll get to in celebration, like, this is, I think, the last season of Mando, is what they're hinting at. The movie's supposed to wrap everything up. So I'm gonna savor it. I'm gonna appreciate it. I hope they drop us like a 2-hour banger.
Let's go Lord of the Rings extended version. Let's go four hours. Get it, dude. Baby,
give me the Favreau cut.
Mm-hmm.
Hell yeah. Anyways, you know where to find us. Stay tuned. We're gonna drop another episode here in a couple days going over all the celebration stuff, and maybe we'll get into some Bad Batch. But hope you guys enjoy the season finale, and We'll catch you in a couple days.
Absolutely. You'll hear us on Wednesday. But until then, as always, may the force be with you.
Peace, everyone.